The Sefer Bezoisa Torah poses an interesting question on this week's Parsha, Parshas Balak. The Parsha begins with, Vayar Balak ben Tzipor es kol asher asa Yisrael la'amari, and Balak the son of Tzipor saw everything that Klal Yisrael did to the Amari. Last week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, we have a whole series of wars, tremendous wars that Klal Yisrael fought, and this person, Balak ben Tzipor, saw what Bnei Yisrael had done to the Amari. Two psukim later, we get more information about this Balak ben Tzipor, and it says, Balak ben Tzipor melech l'moyev be'esahi, that Balak was actually the king of Moyev. And it's strange, because really the Parsha could have started with, Vayar Balak ben Tzipor melech Moyev, Balak ben Tzipor, the king of Moyev, saw. So why did we have to wait two psukim to find out who he was? Also, what's the seeing that he did? What does it mean that he saw? Everybody saw, everybody knew. It was public news, it was in all the newspapers of the Midbar. So what did he see that was different? And of course, these two questions answer each other, meaning by understanding the questions, we get the answer. When Balak saw the destructions of the empire of Sichon, that was so fortified that it was said about it, that had Sichon just been out in the field without any fortifications, he was so strong that he would never have been able to be conquered. And had his capital city, Cheshbon, been filled with mosquitoes instead of soldiers and generals and armies, it could never have been conquered because it was so powerful. And here you have Sichon, the powerful king, with his powerful army, and Cheshbon, the powerful city. And yet they were easily conquered despite all the prognostications of all the military experts of the time. And the other nations, when they saw what was going on, they got very scared, and they began to fortify themselves, and they bought all new types of weapons and all kinds of strategies, knowing that they're going to be next on the list. However, there was one person whose name was Balak ben Tzipor, who saw. He realized that it didn't make any sense. It couldn't be that this was just a military victory. And therefore, he researched the secret of their success, and he discovered that the power of the Jews came from a supernatural source. This has nothing to do with armies and fighting. It has to do with their supernatural power. And therefore, he too went on a search to see if he could find someone who had just as much supernatural power, and he found Bilam, whom he knew well from a previous battle. When Sichon fought the original king of Moab back in the past, he had hired Bilam to curse Moab, and then they were successful in their battle. Sichon was successful in conquering land for Moab. So Moab knew about Bilam, and Moab knew that Bilam was a powerful prophet because he had worked against them, and he understood that perhaps if I get him on our side, now we can use him and his supernatural power to fight the supernatural power of the Jews. And it was from this work that he did that the nation, his nation, recognized his brilliance, and they made him a king, which is why we only get that information that he was a king after his investigation and after he made his suggestion that perhaps we hire Bilam to come and fight against the kings of Klal Yisrael, fight against the power of Klal Yisrael. However, although he was very smart, he didn't take it one step further, which is that the supernatural power of the Jews comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from the Koyach HaTorah that they received at Har Sinai. It comes from the Siyata Deshmaya. It's not supernatural power that can be counterbalanced by Bilam, who's also a supernatural power. No supernatural power, however strong, could overcome this nation that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu fighting for them. So he made a mistake, meaning we answered our questions. The reason that we only know he becomes king afterwards is he becomes king only after his people see his brilliance, and his brilliance came from the way that he saw, but he saw only up to a point, and he never took it further. We often fall into a similar trap. We make conjectures that take us in the correct direction, but only up to a point, and then we lose ourselves. For example, we understand that besides the physical hishtadlus we need to do for anything, for parnasa, for shidduchim, to get our children into the right schools, to get the right jobs, we understand that, yes, I have to do the practical hishtadlus. And then, obviously, we all know there's spiritual work that we need to do as well. We know this to be true, as we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, we are true believers, and we believe that everything is in Hashem's hand. And this is an important madriga, and we shouldn't take it for granted that we're here, that we have this belief, because not everyone knows this, and we do know this, so we understand it. So we get up to this place where we say, okay, I have to do something spiritual. But then we sometimes forget the final step or the most important step, because what we are feeling like is, okay, so I need to do something spiritual so I can get what I need to get. So I'm going to do this skula, or I'm going to say this parak of Tehillim, or I'm going to get this bracha, which of course helps, and of course it has koyach, but we look at it as if I'm punching a code into an ATM machine, and therefore what I'm demanding has to come, because I'm doing my piece. I'm going to the Kaisel for 40 days and 40 nights to say Nishma, so therefore, Hashem, now you have to do what I'm telling you that you have to do, because of course, that person has to get engaged now. I did the formula. I did the spiritual thing. And I decided that this is what I need. So why isn't the Yeshua coming? And the point is that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. It's not that I have a plan, and if I fit in the right things, punch in the right code, find the right person to say the right words, I automatically get what I want. Of course, again, it's all helpful. And of course, doing spiritual work is always helpful. But then, after all that, and before all that, and through all that, I have to remember the main point, which is that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and He is in control, not me. And that's where we sometimes get lost. Balak understood, and he understood correctly, that there was a spiritual aspect to Klal Yisrael, and therefore he needed to do something spiritual in order to fight against them. But he believed that he could manipulate the outcome by finding someone to do something spiritual for him. Of course, that's not the way it turned out. And it turns out that Bilam can't actually curse Klal Yisrael, because that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And here's where we learn our important lesson, that the main thing is, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? And we do our hishtadlus, and we do our physical hishtadlus, and we do our spiritual hishtadlus. But being a true maimon says, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and I play a role in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and of course I can, my spiritual endeavors, of course they make a difference, but at the end of the day, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and He's the one who's in control, and He's the one that's going to decide what the very best thing for me is.